Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Welcome to Adam and Eve Promo, the show.
Well, I hope we don't do the whole show doing Adam and Eve promos.
Well, hey, you've been kind of off for a while. You do the Adam and Eve promo.
Okay, so you go to adamandeve.com. You enter Drome. No. You enter WT. No. What is it?
Static.
Oh, yeah. Okay. When you've picked out what you want, you enter static. Now, you get 85% off of one item. 50% off of one item. You get, they actually charge you double for the shipping.
The free shipping.
It's free shipping. Are you sure?
Yes.
Look.
Free shipping.
Free. You're giving me a lot of direction from that booth.
Fuck off.
Yeah, you're giving me a lot of direct. I just need one director. Really, this is insane. I can't work like this. I'm going. Okay. All right. So let me go through this again. You get 50% off one item.
Yes.
Free shipping.
Yes.
18 free DVDs.
Three free DVDs.
And that's all.
And a free mystery gift.
A what?
A mystery gift.
A mystery gift?
I would never direct any living actor like this. I'm sure you're familiar with the Orson Welles.
Yes.
So go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code STATIC to get three free DVDs, 50% off of a single item, free mystery gift, and free U.S. shipping, in all seriousness. And please, please do it. We really need the money.
Yes. Yeah. And you get a nice warm and happy feeling.
In your butt.
Like pissing in a black suit. It's nice and warm, but nobody really notices.
Makes me think of that Venture Brothers, like the second or third episode where they're on the space station. And you can even pee right in them. No, you can't. Oh, damn it. It's in my gloves. Remember that?
Yes.
I loved that.
Yes.
And that actually brings us into the topic tonight. When is too much damage done? Part two. So, because to me, the Venture Brothers is right on that cusp of last season sucked.
I think
the show is, to me, all the storylines have been told, but they're continuing to go to the point where I'm going, all right, guys, you know, you're not funny anymore.
I'll be honest, I haven't watched Venture Brothers, like the last two seasons I haven't caught.
It became so self-aware, and I think that's the death of any show is when you become self-aware.
Okay, all right.
That it stopped being funny to me. And I've been saying this since the beginning of Venture Brothers, or since the beginning of about season three, the Monarch story is done. Drop it. It is really getting pathetic how the writers keep finding a way to keep folding the Monarch and Dr. Girlfriend stories into the Venture Brothers. I get it. You like the character. His story's fucking over.
Okay.
It's becoming tedious with how you keep finding some ridiculous plot thread to bring the Monarch back into this. If you like his character so much, give him his own spinoff. His character's done on this show.
Okay, I'm going to ask you about something, and I hope it doesn't get any of your other hosts of your other shows in trouble. And since it's just you and I talking, I don't think it will. It was just announced recently, at least as we record this, that Doug Walker is bringing Nostalgia Critic back.
Which I lost the pool. Alex Jowski won the pool.
Okay.
We actually had bets on when he would cave. I had no confidence in the man whatsoever. I had November, and he killed a Nostalgia Critic in like October. I'm like, he's bringing him back right away. So I lost the pool. Jowski had January.
I was going to say, I had him in under 6 months. I didn't think it quite would be this soon. But anywho, so that's an example of something that we're talking about. Has there been too much damage done, do you think, to that property for him to come back now? Or
I think so. I think people are going to see this is exactly what it is. It's backpedaling. Doug Walker's always acquiesced to whatever his fans wanted. He's one of those people that I do this for the money. I don't do it for the love of it. That's what are the feeling I get off of Doug Walker. And his fans didn't like what he did, so he said, okay, you know, please just, you know, start clicking on my videos again. I need the money. That's the way I see this situation.
Okay.
Right or wrong, that's my view of it.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know because I've done that with Road Trip. I've talked to Jason. I've been like, I want out of the show. I don't want, you know, Scott on Road Trip is done as a character. I don't want anything to do with it. And then he'll call me a couple months later and be like, okay, dude, I'm getting requests from the fans. Would you mind? And I'm like, okay, one more season, God. You know? I know you don't listen to Road Trip, but my character is kind of in limbo. He's literally in Wonderland at this point. And so, am I coming back? Are they going to find me or not? We're talking about it right now. You know, hopefully, you know, I have been to that creative where you just go, enough, got to do different. But I
want to see, like we brought up in our internet critics one, I think you can do different while still continuing what you're doing. Like I used myself as an example. I didn't get sick of Lost in the Static. I wanted to do something different, so I did Radiodrome as well as Lost in the Static.
Right.
There's no reason you can't do both.
And that's, believe it or not, for a lot of people, that's a difficult lesson to learn. Because you get so burnt out of doing the same thing week after week after week with these stupid green and gold microphones and your stupid beard, and I don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah, and?
And you reach a point to where if I'm going to do something different, I have to completely end this thing that people like. And so I mean,
but like, okay, Scott, but that's when you wanted to do another Pagan podcast, you didn't stop doing Lost in the
No, Static. And I
you
still
did
won't
it as well right. as
and even when
in the Nostalgia Critic situation, I don't see why he couldn't have done Demo Reel and Nostalgia Critic.
But that's what I'm saying. That is a difficult lesson for a lot of people to learn. And that burnout rate where you're doing the same thing again and again and again, and you set these really false deadlines, and you start feeling those deadlines and you're creatively dead, sometimes, you know, well, I had to take a break from the show for a while.
Indeed.
And when we first started, I had to step away. And it wasn't, it was what it was. I have to step away. And with, even here recently with my work schedule, given this is real life encroaching on my little radio show here.
Right.
But I had to step away for a couple of weeks just to deal with work. I think it also helps me to step away for a couple of weeks from Lost.
Having to deal with me.
Having to deal with, and I don't mean that in a mean-spirited way.
I'm the one that said it.
I know. But having to deal with you, stepping away for a couple of weeks just helps a lot. But another Pagan podcast, and I actually have some other shows in the back of my head that I want to do.
The way I like to put it, since I'm very self-deprecating, I have a bunch of bad ideas I want to try.
Oh, I have tons.
You know, I tell you right up front, they're bad ideas, and I'm going to try them, and they may work, but they're still bad ideas.
Yeah, I'm trying to convince Dawn to do a show with me.
But because fans have been asking us to do another When Too Much Damage Is Done, because apparently we left out some obvious topics
that people
want to hear us talk about.
We always do. Let's just delve right into it. Well,
one of the biggest ones, and it's one that honestly surprised me that somebody would suggest, was National Lampoon. It was the National Lampoon, whether it be, I'm not sure if they meant the brand or the magazine, but that is a good example of Too Much Damage Was Done.
Yeah.
Because do you know the history of the magazine at all?
Not much.
You know, it was very counterculture in the 70s, and then it was bought in a hostile takeover by actor Tim Matheson. You know, he was in Animal House and a bunch of National Lampoon movies and that.
Yeah.
And I really like him as an actor, but he clearly proved he's not a businessman. He bought the magazine in a hostile takeover, and he went mainstream with it. and to murdered compete, the magazine.
He was trying to compete with, well, like Mad Magazine or
National Lampoon. Well, I mean, I guess if you really want to get down to it, yeah, Mad would be, but we're talking totally different age levels for target audience.
Okay.
Because I mean, National Lampoon had nudity in it.
Right. It was.
The jokes were aimed at college students, not kids.
Mad for grown-ups.
Yeah. And he brought it real mainstream, and the sales fell off, and he started franchising the brand. That's when you started seeing National Lampoon's this, National Lampoon's that, for all these movies that had nothing to do with National Lampoon. And
like what?
He oversaturated the market, and he murdered the magazine.
Okay.
And it gets to the point, like, say, I mean, National Lampoon is still technically around, not as a magazine or anything, but you still see National Lampoon's Dorm Days 4 and, you know, things like that on the video shelf. Yeah. To me, that brand has had too much damage done to it. To me, National Lampoon in front of your movie is a reason to not rent your movie nowadays.
I think ever since Van Wilder, I would agree with you.
Way before that, in my opinion.
Okay, like what?
You take over. I'm trying to drink right now. You can see I got my soda in my hand.
I know.
That's when you're supposed to talk, yeah.
That's why I'm doing this. I would agree that there National Lampoon lost sight of what it was supposed to be when it was counterculture, and I think there is still a call today, a call today for a counterculture magazine. I think there will always be a call for a counterculture magazine, and I don't see that niche being filled. Certainly not by National Lampoon anymore.
And National Lampoon, those last couple of years, if you took the last couple of years of the magazine and looked at the first couple of years in the magazine, you'd never be able to tell that that's the same magazine.
Well,
because the editorial dictates were so different. And I mean, National Lampoon in the 70s was going after real topics, and they were doing it in a funny way. National Lampoon in the 90s was going after The Simpsons and Sam Kinison. And I'm sorry,
That's a little low balling it.
Your targets are quite different here, guys, you know?
Yeah, and I think today that role may be filled by The Onion.
Yeah, well, The Onion is very much, I think, National Lampoon's prodigy, really.
You think so?
And I think that's meant as a compliment, because I think The Onion's fucking hilarious.
I do too.
The Onion's got brilliant fucking writers at it. And I really wouldn't be surprised if some of their writing staff is ex-National Lampoon guys on the board or something. Would not surprise me one bit, because their styles are very similar.
But let's talk about the properties that I am familiar with, since I didn't read the magazine, because let's face it, when I came into reading magazines, National Lampoon was already crap.
Yeah, it was already the Tim Matheson era.
Let's talk about the movies. I mean, National Lampoon's Vacation still makes me laugh to this day.
I just watched that on cable the other day, and I used that as an example in an article I wrote on the whole PG-13. You take out them saying fuck four times, a total of four times in the movie,
right?
That movie's a PG easily.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I actually was surprised, because my wife and I were watching it on HBO, and when I clicked the little info thing and it said R, I'm like, this is rated R? Seriously? I honestly thought it was a PG movie.
Sure.
I'm like, this is R?
Yeah. But nonetheless, you know, Vacation still makes me laugh. Animal House, I still enjoy. I didn't laugh quite as much as I did as I was in college.
And you saw that rant I went on about Animal House. And
right.
I actually want to talk what happened to the counterculture with you in a different episode. But
okay.
I found myself becoming an old man that I was siding against Delta House. They were all people that didn't want to learn. They destroyed public and private property. They took nothing sacred. They fucking committed numerous felonies.
Yeah.
It's like, why am I supposed to root for these assholes? The 37-year-old me says, throw their fucking ass in jail.
See, and I'm kind of in that same, you know, looking at it now, I'm kind of in that same boat, but another one that gets me is Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, guys.
There's a rape scene.
I get what you're doing, but yeah, you've committed numerous felonies. Yeah.
And not the least of which is, like I said, there is a rape scene in Revenge of the Nerds.
It's not a forcible rape, but it's rape nonetheless.
And we're rooting for the rapist.
And she marries him.
I know.
In the third movie.
Yeah. So you've got, but back to National Lampoon. Vacation still makes me laugh. Christmas Vacation, it's a yearly thing. My God, that rant that he goes on when he gets his Jelly of the Month bonus. And
God damn it! Where's the aspirin?
I know. It's, you know. Hallelujah! Holy shit! It's still, to this day, makes my dad and I just crack up laughing.
But then, you've got a perfect example going there.
Sure.
But then there's Christmas Vacation 2.
Never saw it.
It was a TV movie where Randy Quaid's family gets trapped on a desert island for Christmas.
So, totally different movie. Okay.
But it's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation 2.
And the next big, because I kind of disappeared in my own little world for a while, the next big National Lampoon movie that came out that I remember was Van Wilder. And I saw that National Lampoon thing, and I went, yay! And I went and watched it, and I watched the dog come in the donuts, and that was, I walked out of the theater flabbergasted. Just, what the hell happened?
Because while the brand is still around, they're just selling their name to whoever wants it, because somebody still thinks the brand has value. That's what we're talking about. To me, too much damage has been done to that brand.
Right.
I don't think, even if you got... And most of the writers for the old National Lampoon magazine are still around. Let's say they revived the magazine and retook the title. I don't think it would make a difference. To me, too much damage has been done to National Lampoon as a name.
I frankly would pass.
Yeah.
And
Tim Matheson and the people that took it over after he went bankrupt, they just dug that so deep into the ground that that franchise is dead to me. Another one people wanted.
Well, there's another line of similar to that. I know that they've done honest sequels and they've brought back the cast and the crew for those sequels, but another one that did that was the American Pie series. Because
they franchised the hell out of that too,
yeah.
All these direct to video movies, and I didn't even like those. I didn't even like the first fucking film. It's offensively bad.
The first film, I was right in the right age. Well, you were too, but I was right in the right age group.
I don't think
people
drinking
right in the
sperm
right
and beer is funny.
Yeah,
sorry.
And it hit me at the time. I watch it now, and I'm like, oh God, what was I thinking? But. Yeah, but then you had like American Pie Presents,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And it's, to me, that, it, like, if, let's say we get a spinoff show that Alex Jowski comes to us, and Alex, I'm using you because I like you and I like what you do, but Alex Jowski comes to us and he goes, guys, I really, really want to talk about growing up in the 90s and being...
Lost in the Static Presents.
Being a kid. Yeah, Lost in the Static Presents, and it ends up that he makes this awful, awful show full of rape jokes and racist jokes and stuff like that.
Oh, so one of my shows. I make the. Hey, weren't we just talking before the show about how I want to do Birth of a Nation on Snark Attack for Black History Month?
But anyway, okay, bad example. But let's say he does Lost in the Static Presents. Lost in the Static Presents the Barry Manilow Hour, where he just talks about being a Barry Manilow fanboy and just plays Barry Manilow music. This would be doing damage to our brand, and I do think Lost in the Static has a brand.
It might.
And frankly, I'm a little bit upset that it's not Lost in the Static Presents Radiodrome.
No. See, the brand is 1201 Beyond.
No.
1201 Beyond, because I am the link between What the Fuck, Radiodrome, Lost in the Static, and whatnot. I'm the link between all of those.
Nice
website. So 1201 Beyond.
Nice website there, Josh.
But, I mean, another one that people really wanted us to talk about, and, I mean, we did... do a retrospective on Radiodrome, but we didn't really talk a whole lot about the decline era.
Okay.
Was Steven Seagal. Has too much damage been done to his career? Because in the last year, last two or three years, he's been trying to make a comeback. True Justice is trying to be old Seagal again. Machete's trying to be old Seagal again. But a lot of people are saying, no, dude, that 12 years of direct-to-video shit where you wouldn't even loop yourself in post,
it's
too much damage has been done, that Seagal is dead to me.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see. And I think that happens to a lot of stars. I mean, let's look at the cast of The Expendables.
Well, people wanted us to talk about, well, we'll get to that in a second.
I know, but Seagal specifically.
Do you think that, I mean, his last good movie, because as I put it on Radiodrome, I don't consider Machete a Seagal movie. Mm-mm. It's a Danny Trejo movie that happens to have a good Seagal in it.
Right.
But his last good movie basically being Under Siege, is he able to get back to that place, assuming he takes great roles from this point forward? Or, because in pop culture, he's a joke. That's one thing that our Radiodrome absolutely showed about Seagal, that people didn't even realize that he used to be a real actor and made good movies. Because there are people that are alive today that Seagal's always been a joke to them.
You had a generation grow up
with Seagal as a fat joke.
Right.
So is too much damage been done to Steven Seagal, or can he recover his career?
I'm going to say no.
You think he's never going to have a mainstream success again?
No.
True Justice is a pretty decent hit, though.
You said, has too much damage been done? I'm going to say no, because I have seen more than one actor pull themselves up out of
John
these
Travolta.
John Travolta, Tom Hanks. Look at all
I don't
the.
Remember when he was ever really down though.
Yeah,
really?
I mean, remember. He
unless
was, there
you're
was,
the Bosom Buddies stuff before
well,
he
you,
was a star.
You had the Bosom Buddies stuff before he was a star, and then he hit it big, and then he made like 377,000 movies. Not all of which were good. Some of which were great.
You've got Mail.
Volcano. You've got Mail. Some of the others that were pretty mediocre. But then he finds that one role.
What was the one for him that really got him back on the map?
I'm trying to...
Big is the one that made him a superstar.
Big is the one that made him a superstar. I think as an actor alone, Castaway did a whole lot of good.
That movie's fucking horrible. But all right.
But looking, you know, cast away the rest of the movie and look at his acting, it kind of proved, especially since a lot of that movie he spends alone, it kind of proved that, okay, I can still act.
Are you not considering a soccer ball another actor?
No, I am not. I'm considering it a prop. A well-done prop. I don't know why the hell they chose Wilson, since Wilson never made soccer balls, but... Until the movie, then Wilson went, oh shit, we have to make soccer balls or volleyballs, not soccer balls.
Oh, the volleyball.
Volleyballs. You know, they never made volleyballs until that movie came out.
But I mean, like Seagal.
I think that he is never going to be the huge action star he was. I don't think that he can hold an action movie anymore. But I think that there could be a great role or two left in him.
Especially if he keeps choosing wisely, because True Justice, I mean, is it a great cop show? No, it's an average just cop show, but he's pretty good in it. And Machete, really, he was great in that. Yeah. And then, you know, but do you think even in Seagal's case, his personal life will doom his comeback with the whole sex slave scandal and... The whole Joe allying himself with Joe Aprio and all that.
Nope.
You don't think him being an ultra white wearing nutball conservative and keeping Asian sex slaves will hurt him?
No, I don't. And I've got one example and one reason why not. Charlie Sheen.
Tiger Blood?
Yeah. Went freaking crazy, and for some reason his star power went up after he went freaking crazy. And I think
I still never understand that, but okay.
I don't either, because I saw The Chase, mediocre film. Henry Rollins, great as a cop. But, you know, Charlie Sheen really, with the exception of 2.5 Pieces of Crap, because I hate that show. I don't know why the hell it's on the air. I don't know why it was on the air to begin with. But he was
It's actually worse than Big Bang Theory, if that's believable.
Yes, it is, considerably. he was on the decline on the star meter, and you know, people were kind of like, well, he's Charlie Sheen, he's a Sheen, he's always had that whole family kind of has a little bit of a they're a little devious, they're a bunch of deviants kind of family, they have since Martin. But then he just went to the point that Emilio Estevez looked at him and went, dude, what are you doing?
Emilio Estevez went, thank God I don't have the last same last name as you.
Exactly. Emilio Estevez was going, wow.
Joe Estevez was going, what are you doing? Yeah,
exactly.
I'm your uncle. Yeah. And dude,
it's enough. But his star power went through the roof. And I think there's the right role out there for Charlie Sheen somewhere to pull him back and prove that he can still act. And I think the same is with Seagal. Is it going to be an action film? No. What I would love to see Seagal in, I want to see him turn bad. I want to see him as a gangster.
Well, he was the villain in Machete.
He was the villain.
He was a fucking cartel boss.
Exactly.
Who had one of the best death scenes ever.
Exactly. And I think that the next vehicle for
Seagal.
Steven Seagal would be a really great gangster movie. I think he would make a really, really good classic mafia gangster.
And see, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see, because I'm a big Seagal fan. Now, another one people wanted us to talk about, and we've talked about it before, but, you know,
we want to go a little bit more in depth.
The Simpsons. Has too much damage been done to save this franchise?
Yes.
Because to me, the last 15 years, well, the last 13 years, 14 years, unwatchable. Yet I still watch it every week. So that says something sick about myself.
Yes, yes, but it does.
What it really comes down to is when that show was so influential in the early 90s to the just almost minstrel show that it's become today. Can you save The Simpsons? Say you fired the entire modern writing staff that's trying to emulate Family Guy, and you hired back the Mike Scully and the guys who brought it up at its peak around season 6 and 7. Could they save the show at this point?
No.
Or is it just it's over?
I kind of equate you still watching The Simpsons. Now, you're not a fan of peanut butter.
Nope.
No, you're not a fan. You don't like peanut butter.
The smell physically makes me sick.
Well, I kind of equate you watching The Simpsons to you eating Reese's peanut butter cups. I can't stand the peanut butter, but the chocolate is really, really good.
Well, I have a conspiracy theory that because the universe is trying to get me to kill myself, that if I stop watching The Simpsons, they'll get really, really good. So by my continued watching of The Simpsons, I make it crap, therefore fulfilling my place in the universe.
Okay, so when it comes to The Simpsons, I still have heard, and I always hear secondhand because I don't watch them, but I occasionally hear The Simpsons did a funny one.
No, not usually a funny one. It's usually there was a funny joke.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
One out of the last three episodes, a funny joke somehow slipped through the radar.
That's what I'm talking about. A funny joke got in, and that's what I'm saying. I eat Reese's peanut butter cups. I don't like peanut butter, but I really love the chocolate. There's still that little bit of chocolate. There is a funny joke left in them, but I don't think they can come back. I think that culturally, The Simpsons had its day. I think it still has a fan base out there, obviously, but it is dwindling.
But see, to me, there's not a fan base for The Simpsons. There are two.
Okay.
There are the old people like myself that can't stand the new stuff and love the old stuff. And this baffles me more than you can know. There are people that love the new stuff and they watch the old episodes on DVD and they're like, these are garbage. These are not funny. There's only like two jokes in an entire minute. This is terrible. So you actually have that Family Guy fan base that's like, we need rapid fire jokes. It's got to be completely meta. It's got to be the style now. I hate, you know, the season 7 episodes, which is when the show was at its creative peak.
Okay.
So there are two Simpsons audiences that hate one another.
I think Simpsons and Family Guy both are making the same mistake.
They're both making the same show, basically.
Basically. And you know me. I'm a fan of Family Guy. I'm not a fan of Simpsons, but I am a fan of Family Guy. But I think here's what was changed in here. And it's funny we should be talking about National Lampoon in the same episode, because the same thing happened to them. They lost their bite. If you go back to the older Family Guys, it wasn't quite the rapid fire, just like The Simpsons. It wasn't quite the rapid fire jokes, but the ones that were there were good. And there was bite, not just pop culture reference, but a true biting satire at pop culture, at modern politics.
I'll argue with that. I watched the first season of Family Guy, and there was nothing funny. Oh, look, it's Scooby-Doo talking about gory, gory crime scenes. Oh, hey, that's still not funny.
But anyway, you know, both of those shows today have completely lost. They've lost something, and to me, it's that bite at pop culture. They don't. The Simpsons were so influential that they stopped satiring or making fun of pop culture and started creating it.
In a way, what you're trying to say is the Simpsons became the imitators of the Simpsons.
Yes.
And that's literally what I think happened when it comes to, because you'll notice when Family Guy started to get really popular, and the Simpsons writers basically admitted this, Family Guy's style of humor was so different, and Family Guy was leeching their ratings.
Right.
So they started writing more in Family Guy's style. So Family Guy started out as a clone of The Simpsons, and The Simpsons then became a clone of Family Guy.
But I look at The Simpsons, and I think 90s. It's dated.
That's a possibility. To me, the only real biting jokes The Simpsons still have, ironically enough, are the shots they take at Family Guy. There was the episode where Homer kept getting cloned over and over, and just like a photocopy, you know, every time it gets a little bit worse. And he eventually got to season one Homer, and then that Homer got cloned, and it was Peter Griffin.
Right.
And I thought, okay, that's really funny. Yeah. That's biting. That's a good shot. And there was another one where they were going through a dictionary. They were looking for some word under P, and it stopped on plagiarist, and it showed a picture of Peter Griffin. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of funny. But you're also, those are kind of meta jokes too.
Yeah, those are very, very meta jokes.
But that's the kind of bite that the show needs to normally have.
Right, and it's the kind of bite that both shows lost. And yeah, that's the only time we really see a bite is when they're biting at each other. And to me, that's the death of two shows. Let's look at Seth Green's properties in general.
Seth MacFarlane, you mean?
Seth MacFarlane.
Seth Green's a different person. Yeah, Seth Green. I still don't like him,
Seth
but
Green
he's a different
plays,
person.
Plays Chris on that one and does Robot Chicken, right?
Okay. Yes.
But no, let's look at Seth MacFarlane's shows in general. Sometimes the funniest jokes are when the shows reference one another. And to me, then it just becomes one big incestual clusterfuck of attempted humor, and it doesn't work anymore.
Well, okay, how about this? How about when too much damage is done to a live-action show such as Married with Children? Again, just like The Simpsons, you look at a season one episode and a season 10 episode, and other than the cast members, you'd never guess that that's the same show, because they became a live-action cartoon by season 10. Do you think too much damage was done that if, say, in season 9, they wanted to go back to season 1 style? Or do you think the show has become this living cartoon that's it's just got to keep getting more ridiculous until... Because by then, the original creators, Levin and Moy, had left the show. They'd done it Unhappily Ever After. Do you think too much damage had been done?
Yeah.
Same question with the X-Files.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, we talked about this when Mulder and Scully left the show, it was no longer the X-Files.
To me, it was an X-Files spinoff called the X-Files.
Right, and it didn't work. The damage was done. Things were it's over. Let it go.
Let's go back to something we talked about just last week. Metallica. What if they decided they're done being rock stars now, and they want to go back to being musicians, and they start making an album like Master of Puppets or An Injustice for All Now, or Has Too Much Damage Been Done to Metallica by 15 years of being radio friendly and sellouts, could they ever truly come back and be a real band again and actual musicians again?
They will never see the success that they did. I think they could come back and they could tour and they could fill clubs and they could fill smaller stages. They're never going to fill, well, I'm not going to say that because they probably still fill arenas, but they're never going to be the big... The reason being, if they went back to that, then the fans they have now and the fans of their modern stuff would hear it and go, what the fuck is this shit?
It would be just like the two Simpsons audiences.
Exactly. Exactly. And you've got the modern Metallica fans that listen to their modern stuff and don't like their classic stuff. That's their fan base now. And that, I hate to say it, is the younger, more disposable income, better marketable fan base.
And I can think of one example of where I thought Too Much Damage had been done, and the property not only came back far stronger. Marvel Comics. In the 90s, with the speculator boom and all their characters getting killed and events, Marvel, I mean, hell, they literally filed bankruptcy at one point. That was a dead company with, you know, no pun intended, dead characters. I would have never seen the Marvel comics we have today, keeping Disney's ownership of it out, the success of Marvel today after that. I thought Marvel was done. I thought Too Much Damage had been done to Marvel comics.
And
somehow they came back.
Do you know what really saved Marvel?
Disney?
Yeah. An injection of cash and resources and writers from Disney going, okay, you guys have some good properties. You have been around long enough to become not just a brand, but one of those, kind of like Coke, one of those brands that's really ingrained in.
I think the word you're looking for is institution.
Institution, thank you. You become an institution, and yeah, you've taken some, you know, 10 years of wrong direction, but we're going to save you. And they just injected a crap load of cash and talent and pulled them back from the brink. Hang on.
Okay.
A company that's going through it right now, and I think we'll go through something very similar to Marvel, is Atari.
Who just filed
for bankruptcy. It's a dead company. It's a dead brand. And I'm sorry, Atari faithful, but that brand has been dying since 1989.
Yeah.
And since... Nintendo popped up.
Well, they actually declared bankruptcy after the Jaguar, so it's been dead once and resurrected.
Right, and it got kind of resurrected, yeah. But and I think the same thing is going to happen with Atari. I think some other company that goes, well, we really want to get into game, you know, we've made all these movies and magazines and blah, 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 blah.
But see, in the last couple of years, Atari made some great games. That's why, I don't know if it's mismanagement or why they went bankrupt again.
They did not make great games. They marketed great games.
Like the Ghostbusters game from 2 or 3 years ago. I enjoyed the shit out of that game. That was an Atari-designed game. They didn't just market that. They made that.
Yeah, but that's one of however many. Trust me, they've had a whole lot more failures than they have.
I know. But when we were talking Marvel Comics, that made me think, do you think the same thing that happened to Marvel Comics is going to happen to, I guess we call it Disney film now, that now that they've got the Lucasfilm properties?
To Lucas, yeah.
Because, let's face it, Star Wars, despite its rabid fan base, they go to see the movies, they buy the comic books, the t-shirts, they have not enjoyed one of these movies since 1983.
Right.
Do you think Disney will be able to save? Because to me, I have thought for decades now, literally 2 decades now, that Star Wars is a dead property. That Star Wars is done.
There's a couple of things that Disney does right. One, Disney has enough clout that they're able to demand and receive talent. They can, you know, Disney, if it really wanted to, maybe not under the Disney title, but under one of its other titles, could go to Francis Ford Coppola and say, okay, I know.
Well, no, it's just kind of ironic because they've got the Lucasfilm that we're talking about, and Coppola used to work for Lucas back at American Zoetrope. So it's just weird that you use that.
But
as an example.
they could take one of their properties and a big old dump truck of money, and drive up to Francis Ford Coppola and go, okay, you're making Apocalypse Now Part 2.
He'd probably say yes.
Yeah, they've got enough clout to do that, and I think. And I know that was a Kubrick film, but Kubrick's not around.
Whoa,
wait a minute.
Coppola made Apocalypse.
Okay, thank you.
What are you thinking of?
I don't know what I'm thinking.
Written
anyway.
By John Milius, directed by Francis Ford
Coppola.
What the it's like, where the hell did you get Kubrick out of this? I want to know your thought process
on
this.
No, you don't. But anyway, they could do that. And they've got enough money that if Francis Ford Coppola went, okay, we're going to do this all practical. We're going to do it on location, and it's going to cost me $150 million for 3 days of shooting, and then we've got another 3 weeks of shooting to think about. But every 3 days, I want $150 million. Disney would go, okay, blomp, and it would happen. Disney and Lucas still has enough of that rabid fan base, and a rabid fan base that is looking for what Star Wars was. And I think that Disney has the connections to the right talent and the right people and the right money. Buying Lucas was one of the most brilliant moves they can make.
At $4 billion.
Even at $4 billion, I think they're going to see that and more in returns. I think they're going to see $10 billion come back to them. And the reason that I see $10 billion coming back is because they hang on to the main little marketing. They hang on to the movies. They hang on to the big cultural event kind of things. And they inject the right talent to really make that franchise come back. But they do something that Lucas never, ever did.
Which is?
Let it go.
What do you mean?
They look at the fan fiction and they look for good writers. They look at the other properties, the books, the comics, the whatever the hell other properties come up, and they look for talent there and they use it instead of squishing it, which, yes, I know Disney has done in the past, but I think they're a slightly different company now. Especially since you don't see them going after daycares with Mickey painted on the wall anymore. I think that's an old idea. I think that Disney realizes that, and they're one of the few companies that do, and I think they're going to use it to their advantage.
So you truly do not think too much damage has been done to Star Wars for Disney to save it?
No, I truly don't. I think that was one of the best investments they could ever make. I see computer games. I see books. I see comics,
the live-action TV series and all that.
Yeah, a TV series, live-action or animated. Look at what was the one that Cartoon Network had?
That awful Clone Wars shit.
But it was very popular.
It was stupid.
But it was very popular.
Well, okay, then how about when too much damage is done to even like a video game property? I'm thinking not just Sega in general, but like Sonic. Do you think... And I'm sorry, Sonic 4 was not the game that was necessary to bring it back. And personally, the way they marketed it, where you buy it, DLC, a chapter, a level at a time, fucking stupid. The marketing on that, I don't know what the fuck Sega and Nintendo were thinking with Sonic 4's idiot fucking release. But do you think like Sonic could see the 90s hitting? Or like The Simpsons with you, is he a relic of the early 90s?
Sonic's time has come and gone. And there are a lot of Sonic fans out there, and even I call them Sonic sexuals, and I don't know why. I don't know what it is about Sonic, but it attracts the freaks.
But then couldn't you say the same thing about Mario?
No. No. Look, okay, Sonic, you can't make crap game after crap game after crap game after crap game, which is the core of what Sonic, you know, even if they have the animated TV show, which has its fans, and let's say that it ended up being awful and crappy and horrible. I've never watched it. I don't know.
There's actually two different ones.
Okay. Well, let's say that both of them end up awful and crappy and horrible. You should be able to look back and say, well, at least we've got the games. You have a failing comic book out there starring Sonic that has all these adventures with people from the animated shows, and it fails horribly. You should be able to look back and say, well, at least we have the good games.
Yeah, Sonic 1, 2, and 3 are good games.
Yeah, Sonic 1, 2, and 3 are good games, but they're dated. They're 90s relics of the past. You can't ride on three good games for your entire property.
Four, actually. Sonic CD, but it didn't sell for
shit. And Sonic Pinball was pretty good.
Sonic Spinball. Yeah, say it right.
Spinball was actually pretty fun. But you can't ride on these crap. You know, you can't keep shoveling out modern, you know, Sonic the Weird Hog or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, that werewolf one.
And all of these games that have... Yeah, they've got their fans, but
not like Sega did in the 90s.
Sonic is can no longer be a mascot for a company, any company.
So you don't think Sonic can come back? You think Sonic, too much damage has been done to Sonic?
I think that if Sonic were to come back, it is going to take an exceptional game. It's not going to take this chapter-released crap, which you're right, that was a marketing decision that was just awful. Let's take this thing that's known for crap games, break up a crap game into little tiny crap chapters. And we'll charge you for each level.
That should have been a regular...
Yeah.
That should have been a regular fucking release of a full goddamn game. Yes. I mean, hell.
But that aside, there's too much damage that's been done. And especially when they started getting in... When Sega and Nintendo released Mario and Sonic at the Olympics.
Yeah.
No. Those two should have remained
rivals.
Rival properties.
Well, all right. In our last 10 minutes, then let me ask you about this one. What about, and a lot of people would say it's not dead. I would say we're right on the cusp with too much damage having been done. Wizards of the Coast's handling of Dungeons and Dragons, the role playing game. I'm sorry, everybody fucking hates the last two editions of D&D. I don't know a single person that says, you know what, this is actually better than third edition.
And I think I like 3.5. We play 3.5. But that can be saved.
Because I think Wizards of the Coast, they just took a hydroelectric drill and said, let's see how far we can just sink this franchise.
Yeah. I don't think Wizards of the Coast is going to do it. But to tell you the truth, I think D&D can be saved, but it's going to take a new team.
But they also fell into the same trap that National Lampoon did.
Yeah.
They franchised their name to horrible movies and TV shows and games, and Wizards of the Coast will sell the Dungeons & Dragons license to anybody.
Right.
And I think that's part of their problem, too. But they have diluted the name Dungeons and Dragons.
But that has the thing that Sonic didn't. You can still, they still have 1, 2, and 3 available commercially today. They just released new editions. Not new editions, that's a bad. They just released new prints of 1, 2, and 3. And Dungeons and Dragons players went rabid over them.
And that should tell Wizards of the Coast right there. People don't want the new stuff. They want the old.
I think Wizards of the Coast is listening. But again, that's got the thing that Sonic didn't. You can still, to this day, look back and say, okay, we've got the crap movie with Jeremy Irons. We've got the crap series. We've got the crap this. We've got the crap that. But at least we have the core books and gameplay. And they are still there. They're still available. I think it's savable, but I don't think Wizards of the Coast is going to do it.
Basically, you think someone needs to buy Wizards of the Coast to save
it? I don't think anybody needs to buy Wizards of the Coast. I think they're going to run themselves into the ground eventually.
Because to me, I'm sorry, when it comes to D&D, I mean, I had issues with the way TSR ran the company, but TSR was fucking gospel compared to how bad Wizards of the Coast has run that company.
Right.
And Wizards of the Coast would argue, they say, and we've made more money in the last 10 years than Wizards of the Coast, or than TSR did in their entire history. That means we're right.
No, which, that just means you've made more money.
Which also just made me think of the Sci-Fi Channel. Is the Sci-Fi Channel savable?
No.
You think even if they went back to their, say, 1994 style of programming, style of original programs, news programs, old movies, classic movies, the Universal Library, since they're owned by Universal, do you think Sci-Fi would be, the channel would be savable?
Or nope.
It has these bad CGI Asylum Roger Corman movies done so much damage to the brand? Or sorry, SIFI.
I think that you're going to have to come up with a new channel. I think if there were a new Sci-Fi channel, they call it the Asimov channel.
That could work, actually.
Yeah. Or just Asimov, the network. Okay. Then and Universal owns it. They do exactly what you said. They go back to what Sci-Fi was. Asimov channel will take off, and I think it will be very successful for a little while, and then it'll fail, just like SIFI did. And then, you know, we worry about branding and crap. I think that the same cycle will repeat.
Oh, it always does. But I mean, but look at the same thing with Universal's Chiller Channel. I don't think it's savable at this point. To me, and I'm not doing this because he's a friend and whatnot, I think American Horror's murdered Chiller to the point where Chiller, it doesn't have a chance anymore. It can't be saved.
American Horrors?
Yeah.
There's a brand with potential. Hart's a friend of mine. I respect him. I don't want to take... none of this is meant personally at him or his vision. I think he's on the right track, but I'm not sure if Filmon is the place to do it. I think he's on the right track. I think he's got a brilliant idea that will sell... Well, I think American Horrors as a brand will do very well. Under its current direction, I don't see it succeeding.
It has so far.
I know it has so far, and it has against all odds. But I see a change coming, and I see a major change coming.
Hope not.
And by what I mean by major change, I don't mean just for American Horrors. I mean for online media in general.
Well, that's a whole different topic.
That's a whole different topic. But American Horrors needs to find... It needs to find the right home. I don't know if Filmon is that right home. But it needs to find...
Because Filmon has technical issues that you can't deny.
It's got an audience. It's a good brand. It sticks to what it should be doing. And I think that as far as the channel is concerned, Hart's doing the right thing. I don't think Filmon's the right home. And I don't know if the right home has risen online yet. Whether, you know, Netflix kind of tried and they're kind of failing. Roku provides some deals, but there hasn't been the big... Hulu was a good attempt, but the big online player hasn't arisen yet, and I don't think it's Filmon. I think it's going to be somebody new.
Since we're running out of time, just real quick, Blockbuster, savable or not?
No,
as
trash
a brand,
it.
As
nope.
a brand, it's,
nope.
it's done?
Nope.
Its time is over?
Yeah, its time has
to
come
To me,
and
Blockbuster's
gone.
A relic of the 90s, like
yes.
you were saying with Sonic and
it's just like
The
Sonic.
Simpsons. To me, Blockbuster's a 90s thing.
Yeah, it's done. Retire it, rebrand it, relaunch it.
Well, then what about Lost in the Static? We're almost 130 episodes
nope.
in. Is too much damage
been Way done? Too much damage. You've screwed everything.
I wish I could argue with that. I really do.
No, the truth is there are some changes I'd like to see at Lost in the Static. I'd like to see a new theme. I'd like to see a new logo. I'd like to see us change. We're 130 episodes in. I think we've done a pretty well, 129 episodes in.
I think we maybe 100 good ones.
Yeah, 100 good ones. And I think that we have a good direction. And this is where I turn an appeal to the audience. We need your help. I want a new logo. I want a new theme. You guys are 3,000 times more creative than I will ever be. And that's I think we have something here. I don't think we've Jackalope isn't the channel we need to be on, but we need to find our outlet, and that's that. And in order to do that, we need to rebrand. We need your help. There we go. There's my appeal.
All right, are you gonna do this having to wait?
Well, we've only got 5 seconds left, so it really doesn't matter. I will see you next week, everybody.